Chapter 6 Naomi and I lounged around in bed for a few hours, though I was extremely cautious not to let myself fall asleep. The beautiful witch in my arms, however, had no qualms about slumber. She slept like the dead, and I stroked her soft hair as I looked down at her and thought about everything that laid ahead. Soon enough, Ada's nightclub down below came to life, and even though the succubus had soundproofed the upstairs portion of the building, I could still feel the subtle pounding of the bass beats coming from the main floor below. A quick glance at the clock on the wall told me it was now 9 p.m., which meant the club was open for business. And with Ada's establishments, business was always booming. Honestly, I was surprised Ada hadn't come up here to check on us yet. For a brief second, I wondered if Janine and Leah were back from the library, but then I remembered who I was thinking about. Janine would live in the library if Agatha would let her. I let out a loud, over-the-top yawn as I stood from the bed and stretched. Then I walked over to my clothes, tossed them back onto my body, and turned around, just as Naomi let out a soft groan.
Good morning.
The witch smacked her lips as she sat up in bed, and her voluptuous breasts jiggled with the movements of her body. Morning, I chuckled, as I picked up her shirt off the ground and then tossed it over to her. It's actually late evening, my dear, and about time to head out to your old stomping grounds.
Oh, wow.
Naomi rubbed her eyes and then looked over at the clock.
I slept like I was dead. You really wore me out, Carter.
Ditto. I winked. Though I don't think you have the same sort of insomnia I do, so it looks like you got a nice little nap in.
Don't worry, Carter.
The witch said with a frown, and then she began to tie the strings of her corset back over her body.
Between the five of us, we'll find something that can help you get the Shadow Man off your back, I'm sure of it.
I know we will. I nodded. In the meantime, though, I foresee a bunch of Red Bull and coffee in my future. Do you need to take a shower?
No need.
Naomi winked at me and murmured something under her breath as she brushed a hand down the length of her body.
There. Now the important things are cleaned up, though I do miss being dirty.
Oh, is that what you did before we... I trailed off as my cheeks heated up, but I distinctly remember the witch saying she had prepped herself right before she lowered her ass onto my cock.
Yes.
She said with a smirk. Then she reached out and brushed her hand against my chest, and tingles enveloped my body from head to toe, as her magic apparently cleaned me, too.
It's a nifty little spell, wouldn't you agree?
I'll say. I grinned, and a wave of heat pulsed through me at all the naughty possibilities. Naomi and I finished getting dressed, and then we headed out to the main area of the club. We made our way down the stairs, before we gently popped open the large, metal-reinforced door that separated the living quarters of the building from the club itself. And we were greeted by eardrum-shattering electronic beats. The building seemed to shake as people danced, drank, and made out all around the main floor of the club, all while a single DJ stood up on the stage and danced along with his impromptu music. A strobe light flashed intensely across the dance floor, which created an awesome slow-mo effect on the dancers before us. And around the perimeter of the floor were all sorts of neon-colored booths and tables, which themselves were completely packed to the gills.
There you are, loves.
Ada shouted as she approached us from our left side.
I was starting to think the Shadow Man got you.
That's not even funny. I grumbled as I rubbed my eyes. Are you ready to go?
Oh, I'm afraid none of my contacts are able to make it tonight.
The succubus frowned.
I'll probably have to temporarily shut down so I don't leave the club unattended.
What are you talking about? I scoffed as I gestured around to all the patrons. You've got a full house tonight.
It's not as important as helping you out, Carter.
Ada shook her head.
We have to figure out more on this Shadow Man, asshole.
No, you stay here and manage the club, I said, and then I placed my hand on the succubus's shoulder. Naomi and I can handle the crypt on our own, and there are way too many people here tonight to just send home with no explanation. Your Yelp reviews would definitely go to shit if you did that.
I don't like to be sidelined.
I know you don't, but keeping up our empire is just as important as finding that information. And there's nobody I'd rather have doing it than you, Ada.
Well, I suppose.
The succubus smirked.
If you're giving me the night off, I'm not going to argue.
Oh, it's not a night off. I chuckled as I pointed out to the dance floor. That dude just puked all over, and the customers around him are starting to freak out. I'd honestly rather deal with the Shadow Man than all the angry, entitled assholes who are about to start complaining.
I'll get right on that. You two be careful, okay?
We will. I promised, and I gave the succubus a quick peck on the lips as a way to tell her goodbye. A small group of disgruntled-looking people started walking around, asking where they could find a manager, and Ada quickly ran over to intercept them.
Now, now,
the succubus called out.
I'll handle your complaints one at a time. I don't envy her at all,
Naomi mused.
Not at all.
With that, the witch and I shuffled toward the back door of the club, where we exited out into the blustery Cincinnati night. The two of us then unlocked the Hummer, jumped inside, and kicked it into gear, as we took off out of the alleyway and then down the dark streets. "Can you do me a favor?" I asked Naomi, as I looked over at her and handed her my phone. "Obviously I'm not going to text and drive, so could you send a message to Janine for me? I just want to make sure she and Leah are doing all right at the library, and to let them know we're headed to the crypt."
"Aww, look at you,"
Naomi said with a half-smirk.
"Looking out for your women like that."
"Of course I look out for my women. You're all a part of my team. And I realize just how dangerous all this shit I'm asking you to do really is. It's what a good leader and lover does."
"Have I mentioned I'm really, really glad I picked you over the Sisters of the New Moon?"
Naomi purred as she tapped away at my phone and then sent the message with a short ping. We drove for nearly an hour, and the environment around us grew less and less urban the further we drove. Eventually, we were surrounded by lots of tall, lush trees and sprawling hills, with the occasional house or farm scattered around on either side of the road. I'd been in the trunk last time we made this drive, so I had a special appreciation for the scenery. Then we got to the cemetery where I'd first met Naomi, and the witch's entire body tensed up. "What's up?" I asked, as I glanced over at the nervous witch. "Do you think your sisters are still here?"
"No, no."
Naomi sighed and shook her head.
"I'm pretty sure they were all killed by Ichthigo. My coven is no more, but there's still something about this place that gives me the creeps. Even back when I was with the Sisters of the New Moon, I was always unsettled when we met here. And I almost always had a feeling I was being watched."
"I mean, you were. Probably by Khonsu, maybe one of your other lunar deities."
"Or maybe it's just Greg the groundskeeper."
Naomi snickered.
"He's kind of a creepy dude. Every night we met, he would just stand there and watch us all going into the crypt. He tried to hide behind a tree and stay far away so we wouldn't see him creeping on us, but he didn't do a very good job. But he never seemed to be a threat, so we left him alone."
"Why the fuck was he watching you?" I shuddered. "Don't tell me he was beating off back there."
"He's a creepy, weird dude who willingly spends his nights cleaning up cemeteries."
The witch snorted as we exited the vehicle.
"I doubt he sees many women, let alone giant groups of women clad in skin-tight leather."
"So he probably was beating off," I said, as my face twisted into a cringe. "I wonder if he's watching us right now."
"Probably."
Naomi shrugged.
"You're the werepanther here, Carter. If Greg's creeping on us right now, you should be able to find out."
I stopped moving and tried to listen in for any signs of another human, but all I could hear was the gentle breeze as it rustled through the trees and the occasional sound of squirrels and raccoons as they bounded about the cemetery. Then I took a deep sniff of the breeze, but the only scents I detected were freshly turned soil, a hint of dried decay like bones, and the various gamey aromas of the different nocturnal animals. The animals. Even if I couldn't hear or smell anybody coming at the moment, pretty soon we would be moving heavy pieces of rubble and focusing on the task at hand, and I'd be distracted. But if we had some secret eyes in the skies, then I wouldn't have to worry about any of that. "I don't hear or smell anyone, but stay right here. I'm going to go talk to one of those squirrels." Naomi let out a giggle, and I realized just how funny that phrase sounded when I said it out loud. Still, it had to be done.
"I'll be on the lookout for creepy Greg,"
Naomi whispered as I walked away. I walked over to a nearby tree and scanned the branches above me until I saw a little brown, fuzzy-tailed squirrel. The little guy was munching on an acorn, seemingly without a care in the world, and I kind of felt bad for bothering him.
"Psst,"
I hissed. "Hey! Hey, you!" The squirrel lowered the acorn and looked around, but then he went back to munching.
"Humans are strange creatures,"
I heard him mutter to himself. "Squirrel!" I said again. "I'm talking to you!" This time the squirrel looked down at me and tilted his head to the right.
"Human!"
he chittered.
"I'm trying to enjoy this food in peace."
"I'm sorry," I apologized. "I just needed some help."
You can understand me,"
the squirrel gasped. "I can," I nodded. "Which is why I'm asking for your help. I need you to play lookout for me, if you're up to it. There's a weird dude who walks around the cemetery, and my friend and I are trying to get into that pile of rocks over there without being disturbed."
You mean the human who's always touching his genitals when nobody else is around?"
the squirrel asked.
Oh, even though all of us animals can see him in plain sight? Fucking called it. I think we're talking about the same guy. I know it's late, but would you and your friends be willing to keep watch and tell us if he starts to come our way?
What's in it for us? I know you're a rare human who can speak my language, but I'm not going to just randomly do what you ask without anything in return.
Nuts, I said with a smile. We can get you all the nuts you could possibly want.
Come, please.
The squirrel scoffed.
I've been around this area my whole life, and there's not a nut on this property I haven't found and devoured already.
We have one thing you don't, though, I reminded the animal. Stores.
What's a store?
He questioned. It's this place where I can go and get all the nuts you want. Whole handfuls of them at a time. So many different kinds, already shelled and everything.
Go on.
The squirrel's beady eyes narrowed. If you help me out, I can come back later with a bunch of nuts. All for you.
And all I have to do is watch for the weird human.
Exactly. If he starts to get too close to the pile of rubble that used to be a mausoleum, just sound the alarm. That's it.
This seems like a trick. It's too easy.
It's very easy, I shrugged. But it's something that needs to be done, and my friend and I can't do it. So what do you say? You keep guard and I bring you a few bags of nuts?
How many are we talking about?
Well, fucking hell, I was negotiating with a frickin' squirrel. Never in my wildest dreams that I thought my life would come to this. Three bags? I offered.
I don't know what three means. Is that a lot?
Yes. Three bags is a lot of nuts.
Wow.
The squirrel made a chittering sound.
You humans think we really are brainless, don't you? Of course I know what three means, and it isn't a lot. I'm going to need at least six to make it happen.
Okay. I rolled my eyes. I can bring you six bags of nuts the next time I come back.
Really? It was that simple?
They cost a large sum, I said, even though money wasn't really a factor for me. But I'll make it happen. Do we have a deal?
I look out for the weird human, and you give me seven bags of nuts.
Six! I pointed up at the little creature. Don't push your luck, pal.
Yeah, fine. I'll do it.
The squirrel nodded.
I'll tell the others to look out, too. I'm not telling them about the nuts, though.
Fair enough. I chuckled, and then I watched the little squirrel skitter away. I was nothing but smiles as I walked back to Naomi, who simply stood there with her arms crossed over her busty chest.
Well, how did it go?
The little fucker tried to Jordan Belfort me, I said with a snicker. He drove a hard bargain, but I got him to do it for the oh-so-high price of six bags of nuts.
Oh, wow.
Naomi snorted.
He really did drive a hard bargain.
At least we won't have to worry about creepy Greg. And you're 100% right, by the way. The squirrel told me he's seen the dude whacking off when he thinks nobody else is around.
Wonderful.
The witch shuddered.
So now we need to watch where I step and what I touch, too.
I waved my hand dismissively. It would be washed off by now anyways.
Unless it's fresh.
Naomi gagged.
Ugh, what a creepy dude.
With our scout in place and our car safely parked and locked, Naomi and I started down the rows of tombstones. The witch led me through the cemetery for a few minutes, and the air around me was dead fucking silent as we moved. Finally, off in the distance, I saw the ruins of the mausoleum we'd destroyed the last time we were here. Or, at least, what was left of it. A few concrete pillars had been erected around the perimeter of the space, as well as a few new tombstones. It had been a few weeks since we tried to sneak into the coven meeting, so it appeared that a lot of the actual rubble had been cleared out to reveal a simple concrete slab on the ground, with a few small bits of concrete jutting out. It looks like somebody's been busy, I said as I walked forward.
That's not surprising. The cemetery probably didn't want to just leave a bunch of their customers laying in the rubble for all of eternity. The living family members would have been pissed, to say the least.
Hold on. I stopped as my eyes widened to the size of saucers. There were actually people inside this thing? Like real dead bodies?
Yes.
Naomi trailed off and stared at me like I'd grown a second head.
It's a mausoleum.
Well, yeah, but I thought it was just a front for your coven meetings. Like, you had the names of a bunch of famous witches on the nameplates. I didn't think it was a real functioning mausoleum.
Those were dummy names to identify the location of the stairwell, Carter. The real bodies added to the ambiance.
Naomi winked, and then she summoned silver magic into her hands and approached the far right corner of the area.
The staircase used to be somewhere right around here. Right about there.
Naomi's luminescent hand pointed at one of the stone pillars, and then she reached over and touched it softly. I watched as the witch bowed her head and began to recite some sort of incantation to herself, and as she did so, the silver magic spread across the pillar and engulfed it in a shimmering glow. "Is that still going to work?" I asked. "It's not a bookshelf anymore."
"It was never about the bookshelf, Carter,"
the witch said, without opening her eyes.
"This is a seeing spell. It reveals things that are hidden to the naked eye, no matter what they are hidden under."
As she spoke, there was the sound of groaning concrete against concrete, and the pillar started to move. It scraped across the remnants of the mausoleum floor as it pulled away, and before us stood a giant square hole, with a staircase in the ground. Or, at least, what used to be the staircase. It was now completely collapsed, and all that stared back at us was a large dark hole in the ground. "Do you think you can use your magic to lower me down?" I asked, as I tried to see what was below us. Even with my night vision, all I saw was a bunch of crumbled stone and marble down beneath our position, and I didn't want to jump down and accidentally impale myself on some rebar.
"Hold tight,"
Naomi whispered, and then she touched me with a glowing silver hand. My body became weightless as the witch lifted me a few inches off my feet and moved me over the hole. Then she took a deep breath and began to lower me down ever so slightly. It was only about 20 feet down, so the journey was brisk and brief. Eventually, I felt my shoes touch down on uneven ground, and I let out a quick whistle to let Naomi know I was safe and sound.
"I'm good," I whisper shouted. "Now it's your turn."
"I can't transport myself. That's not how magic works."
"You can jump, though. Don't worry, I'll make sure I catch you."
What's down there if you don't?"
I looked around at the jagged rocks and sharp bits of crumpled marble around me, and I decided she didn't need to know all that.
Don't worry about it. I'll catch you."
I watched as Naomi's leather boots slowly appeared over the opening above, and her red and black hair peeked over the side. The woman slowly shimmied over until only the very edge of her ass was on the ground, and then she took a deep breath, leaned forward, and started to plummet downward. I moved around underneath Naomi as she fell until her body finally thudded into my arms. Her heart was pounding in her chest, and her dark eyes were as wide as dinner plates as she took long, hurried breaths.
"Not gonna lie, I was kinda worried you wouldn't catch me there for a second."
"Thanks for the vote of confidence," I chuckled as I set Naomi down on the rubble, and we began to check out the remnants of the old hideout. However, this place looked nothing like it had the last time. There were tables, pieces of furniture, and chunks of concrete and stone scattered throughout the area, all in various states of disarray. "They must have forgotten to clean this part."
"Well, duh,"
Naomi teased back.
"The Sisters of the New Moon didn't know they would meet their ends that night at the docks, so they surely recast their cloaking spell the second they left here. The owners of the cemetery don't even know this is down here."
"So where is this archives area?" I asked, as I looked around the crumbling space. "Is it by where you took me for my torture?"
"It's on the opposite side."
The witch nodded as she moved her hand about the room.
"It's... fuck, this complicates things."
Naomi pointed to the left wall of the gathering space, where a massive chunk of concrete had fallen and crumbled into a pile of large rubble. "Let me guess," I said with a sigh. "It's behind there?"
"Indeed."
"Do you think you can move it with your telekinetic magic?"
"I could have at one point, but with my powers the way they are, I doubt it. But let me try."
Naomi summoned silver magic into her other hand as she stepped forward, and then she blasted it around the pile of rocks. Her eyes narrowed as she scrunched up her face, let out a few soft grunts of frustration, and raised her hands upward. But nothing seemed to move at all. Finally, she decast her spell, and she then looked back over her shoulder at me and shrugged.
"Sorry. Guess I need to start working with Janine, Ada, and Leah so we can officially form a coven."
"Let me try."
I walked over to the rubble and wrapped my hands around one of the smaller pieces. It had a bit of heft to it, but I was able to move it out of the way without any issues.
"Look at my big, strong werepanther."
"It's actually not too bad. You might be able to handle some of these small ones without magic at all."
Naomi stepped forward and inspected the pile for a few seconds, before she picked up a small bit of concrete and tossed it to the side.
"Huh. Would you look at that?"
"It's gonna take a hot minute to get all this moved without any magical assistance. But I guess that's what we have to do." Naomi and I spent the next hour clearing the rubble out of the way of the door. It was a long, tedious process, and by the end of it, every muscle in my body was screaming like they were on fire. But we were finally able to remove enough of the debris to create a small hole at the very top of the pile. Then I carefully climbed up on top of the mountain of rock and stone and peered through the door, where I was greeted with the sight of what appeared to be a library. There were all sorts of shelves carved into the tunnel walls, in addition to a few wooden stools that had been crushed underneath the collapsed roof. I turned around, gave Naomi a thumbs up, and offered her my hand. Then I helped the woman up onto the top of the stack before I slowly got her down onto all fours and watched her crawl through the hole, and once Naomi was inside, I followed suit.
I never thought I'd be back here, you know,
Naomi said, as she dropped down onto the ground with a dull thud.
Both literally and figuratively. Like, I figured this whole place was in my past now, but also the higher-ranking sisters never let me really look around back here. They always just told me what to grab for them, and then they expected it ASAP.
And you never got nosy and took a peek? I questioned, as I slid off the edge of the rubble and landed in a crouch.
No.
The witch shook her head furiously, and her multicolored strands whipped around her face like a gothic tornado.
To look at the sacred texts without proper authorization from the Coven Mother was complete sacrilege. It was an offense punishable by death, and I never took the risk.
So how do you even know what we're looking for? There's a lot of scrolls and books in here.
I know what we need on a superficial level,
Naomi said, as she held up her glowing silver light.
And I can tell you the general locations of different texts since I was nosy and overheard my older sisters talk about various sections in books. I just don't know their exact contents.
What were you thinking could help us, in terms of the shadow fucker? The red and black-haired woman snorted.
That'd be quite the sight to see, a man who literally fucks shadows. In all seriousness, though, I believe it would be wise to search the Necronomicomical section first. From what Janine said, this monster sounds like he exists on another plane of existence, which means he probably wouldn't show up in the spellcasting section or the section about earthly beasts.
Damn. I whistled as I took a step toward a nearby wall. It's like a whole witchy, dewy decimal system.
It's not that intense.
Naomi slowly sauntered over to the far right corner of the room and held her hand up to illuminate the row of boxes, rolled up scrolls, and ancient books before her.
Let's see here. It should be around here somewhere. Uh-huh.
Naomi reached up with her left hand and picked up a small, leather-bound book no bigger than a pocketbook. It had a black cover that had been worn down from the sands of time, with edges that looked like they'd been chewed off by a mouse. The witch brought the book over to me, held it up, and pointed to the title. Gian Valamio's Field Guide to the Necrotic. How charming. I chuckled to myself. Who the fuck is Gian Valamio?
She was a legendary witch. Allegedly one who lived during the time of Khonsu himself.
Naomi said with a longing sigh.
She dedicated her entire immortal life to the study of necromancy, creatures from the netherworld, and even the afterworld itself.
Shit. Why don't we just find this Gian Valamio herself? If she's immortal, she's surely kicking around on this world somewhere.
You, of all people, should know immortal doesn't necessarily mean invulnerable, especially after your fight with the golem.
Ah, I nodded. So something killed or trapped her?
That's the irony of it all.
The witch clicked her tongue.
Gian Valamio came face to face with thousands of paranormal creatures and dabbled in dark occult magic that would kill any regular human. Yet it was regular humans who killed her. A man, actually.
Jealous lover?
Yep. He was jealous of her immortality.
Naomi scoffed.
Somewhere around the 17th century, she fell in love with a man who was particularly troubled about the fact she wasn't aging and he was. The legend states he eventually discovered her secret and then slit her throat while she slept, without any warning whatsoever.
Damn, that's cold-hearted.
Either way, she compiled several centuries of fieldwork.
The witch held the book up in her hand.
Maybe there's something on the Shadow Man in here.
Naomi stood over beside me and then cracked open the ancient text so we could both read it. Every line of text in the book had been handwritten, and it looked like it started off in ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Please tell me you can read those.
Naomi groaned.
Because I can't.
I can read a little. I only took Egyptology 101 and 102, so I can make out some of the general meanings. As I glanced over the text, I saw a few things I recognized. Mainly, I saw symbols that talked about the underworld, death, and the darkness, in addition to some strange drawings of beasts I'd never seen before in my life. Still, I didn't see anything that even remotely resembled this Shadow Man. Eventually, the book's writing style changed from visuals to actual written word.
Greek.
Naomi let out a sigh of relief.
Oh, I can actually read that.
The writing continued to progress through time, from Greek to Latin to French, until it finally stopped completely, which was probably where the author was when she was cut down in her sleep.
Ah, shit.
I pursed my lips. Did you see anything about the Shadow Man? Because I didn't.
That makes no sense.
Naomi grumbled as she rubbed her head.
He's not a creature of this earth.
But is he a creature of the Netherworld? Or something else entirely?
Hold on.
The witch trailed off.
You might be onto something there. I wonder if he would be in the scrolls of the spectral plane.
I have no fucking clue what that is. I shook my head. But it sounds like it might be on the right track. Naomi slammed the tiny book shut before she stuffed it into her pocket, turned around, and rushed over to the wall behind us. The witch stopped before one of the larger bookcases and held up her glowing silver hand in the direction of the top shelf. She let out a small, frustrated growl as she blasted out a shot of magic and wrapped it around an entire set of paper-thin tubes tied off with straps of leather. Then Naomi slowly lowered the scrolls down to the floor and picked up the one on the far left.
They're written in the language of the Ancient Ones.
Isn't that the language you know? That's the language you speak when you cast a spell, right?
No, that's occultist common. The language of the Ancient Ones would be the languages spoken by Bast and Khonsu and even Cthulhu and all those other old gods. I doubt there are many humans who actually can read or speak it.
There must have been some, or why would they even be in your library?
My coven mother could for sure. But unless you can reattach her body parts together after getting torn apart by Ichthygo, I don't think we'll be able to ask her.
I bet Janine knows it. She knows every single language known to man.
Maybe. Or perhaps Ada, being a creature not of this world, would understand a bit of it. I just don't know if this has anything about the Shadow Man in it, and it would be kind of a bitch to carry all these back for nothing.
It's not for nothing, I argued. Even if that has nothing to do with the Shadow Man, those scrolls sound really, really important. We should take them back home and try to keep them safe. The last thing we need is a random magic user discovering these and then unleashing Cthulhu or some shit like that.
I suppose we will take these then. And John Valamio's field book, too.
Do you have any other ideas as to what kind of information they would have about the Shadow Man here? Maybe they would have some spells that could help us fight back against him in the spell section?
We'll have to see.
Naomi nodded, and then she placed the scrolls of the spectral into a tidy pile on the ground. The witch led me over to the shelf filled with spell books, and I couldn't believe just how much magic these witches knew. I knew there were way more books than we could possibly carry back to the Hummer, but I kinda wished I could have Janine and Ada take a look at these things, mainly so they could learn more magic themselves. Then it hit me. We could! Save for the collapsed ceiling, this place was a perfect hiding spot for anything important we didn't want to keep on hand with us at all times. Spell books, amulets, enchanted prisons, and weapons could all be stored in these catacombs, which were locked underneath a former mausoleum. Not to mention, it was protected by a spell only the Sisters of the New Moon knew, and Naomi was literally the only surviving member of the coven left. This was pretty much a house-sized enchanted lockbox, and there were all sorts of goodies we could keep down here. Plus, this meant we had access to an ancient library, with several scrolls and books of knowledge that would only be known to my friends and I, which would make us insanely more powerful than our enemies.
We've already checked the astral and necromantic sections,
Naomi said, and she drew me out of my thoughts.
I'm trying to think of any other sections that might overlap within the subject of our foe.
Dreams? Do you have a section on dreams?
He's not Freddy Krueger, Carter.
No, but in some cultures they believe that when we dream, we are actually being transported to another plane of existence, which sounds an awful lot like something I'd correlate with the Shadow Man.
Fair enough,
the witch said with a nod.
The dream section is actually right next to the ghost section, which I wanted to check out anyway.
Naomi and I spent the next few hours rustling through every single section she thought might have included information about the Shadow Man. We found a few passing references to a dark, formless figure that appeared in a few of the scrolls on curses, as well as three distinct examples of sleep paralysis involving a horrifying creature. And by the time everything was said and done, we had collected several scrolls, a few crumbling texts, and a bunch of letters in addition to the scrolls of the spectral plane. What time is it? I yawned as I pulled my phone out of my pocket and glanced at the time. It's 3 a.m. already? Fuck, we've been down here for hours, and I'm still not sure we found anything of value.
Unless the scrolls have something important, you might be right.
Naomi rubbed her eyes.
Perhaps Janine and Leah had better luck at the library?
I don't know. I shrugged, and then I started to flip through my phone's contacts. I guess I can ask.
You think they're still there?
Janine and I spent an entire night in the library last time. 3 a.m. is nothing to her. I found Janine's number in my favorites, so I quickly tapped on her profile picture, but I didn't have any signal. I was worried that I hadn't heard back from Janine yet, but my fears dissipated when I remembered just how much of a bookworm the redhead was. She was probably just lost in one of the many rare texts the library had on file, and wasn't even looking at the notifications on her phone at all. The reception in this crypt was also spotty, to say the least, but I was able to walk back toward where we came in, and my call finally went through. However, Janine never answered. I called two more times, but there was still radio silence.
Fuck, why wasn't she answering?
The OLG hadn't been anticipating us returning to the library, had they? My heart was starting to pound in my chest like a frickin' snare drum, and I could feel my pulse in my ears. Then my phone vibrated in my hands, and I instantly looked down and saw the screen light up with a tiny little message icon on the top left. It was a text from Janine.
Sorry, in the library and Agatha's giving me dirty looks every time my phone goes off. How are things on your end?
Not bad, I said aloud as I typed. You don't happen to understand the language of the ancient ones, do you? I sent the message, leaned up against a nearby fallen boulder, and anxiously awaited a response. It only took half a minute before my phone vibrated again, and I saw another message from the redhead.
The ancient ones? What exactly did you find?
The scrolls of the spectral plane, I said as I tapped away. Naomi says they might be important.
Yes!
Janine responded almost immediately.
I thought those were just a rumor, but if you really have them, that's good news.
No idea if they talk about the Shadow Man. There's no way to know. We can't read it. Unless you know the language of the ancient ones.
No.
My phone pinged the single message, but then 10 seconds later, another one appeared right underneath.
But I know someone who does. You won't like it, though.
Who? I asked, though my brain was already formulating an answer.
Dr. Hansen. Of course he knows the language of the ancient ones.
Of course. We're just about done here, I texted back. Probably another hour or two at the most. I can barely keep my eyes open.
We're nowhere near done at the library. Do you want to plan on meeting at Dr. Hansen's office at 8 a.m. tomorrow? I think that's when he comes to campus, usually.
Fine with me. I texted back. I'd say I'll get some sleep, but that's a lie.
Just be careful. Don't fall asleep at the wheel.
I will. I promised, and then glanced up at the witch beside me as I continued to plan out loud. I'll have Naomi drive us back, just in case. Janine sent a thumbs up back, and Naomi nodded her agreement, so the two of us pressed onward. We read through the scrolls and texts for about 2 more hours before, finally, Naomi's dark eyes started to get heavy. Then the witch sat down on the floor, pulled her knees up to her head, and used them to cover her eyes.
A quick nap,
Naomi muttered.
Oh, you keep going.
I will. There's no way in hell I'm gonna sleep, not with the Shadow Man after me.
You'll have to eventually, you know.
The witch reminded me through a yawn.
If you don't do it voluntarily, your body will force you to.
That was a reality I didn't really want to think about. Eventually, I would get so exhausted my brain would force me to go to sleep, even if it was in the middle of a drive or in the heat of battle. I could keep going on my adrenaline for a while, but that was only going to take me so far. At some point, I would have to face the Shadow Man again. I just hoped that when the time finally came, I would be ready. Naomi's breath grew longer and slower, and then I heard a soft snore erupt from her mouth. I continued to look through the texts as the witch snoozed away, until eventually I heard the alarm on my phone start to go off. What the fuck? I pondered aloud as I pulled out my phone. The alarm's not set to go off until 7... Oh, shit! It was 7 a.m. We needed to be at the UC campus within the hour, and it was nearly a 20-minute drive, not to mention we needed to ensure nobody saw us on the way out. If we wanted to catch Hansen, we needed to go right now.